was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Okay, we're back. It's the sports guys. However, let's talk about the weather. Bill Wolfson and I here today with you. And since he's an Eagles fan and I'm a Packers fan, I guess we can talk a little football. But let's talk about the weather. This afternoon, there was a slight chance of showers or thunderstorms. I'm not sure we've had any problems in Hunterdon County. I guess that's noise, not on the radio, somewhere else. Tonight we have about a 70% chance of showers, and then some patchy fog into Saturday, and then showers are likely, about a 60% chance of showers tomorrow, maybe some thunderstorms. Saturday night, again, we can expect some showers and then mostly cloudy. Sunday should be the nice day, mostly sunny on Sunday, so enjoy, if you're going to enjoy the weekend, do whatever you have to do inside on Saturday. And then on Sunday, as I said, mostly sunny, high near 83 degrees. And then into Sunday night and Monday, again, there's another chance of thunderstorms. So, Bill, I don't know if you were able to watch the Eagles-Packer game, but we don't get Philadelphia television. So we had the Broncos and somebody else on last night. We were not able to get the game, NFL or, any of the NFL channels. We get them all, or didn't expect them on regular television. Since where I am, we don't get Philadelphia. But I hear that you didn't watch the game either, even though you could get Philadelphia.
No, I unfortunately had to keep my nose to the grindstone last night and get some work done. And, I don't really enjoy preseason football because you don't get to see the players that you would get to see during the regular season except for a couple of snaps.
Well, you're right. And, in fact, last night Aaron Rodgers, our quarterback for Green Bay, did not play. Jordy Nelson did not play. Probably the most discouraging thing from a Packer standpoint last night were all the injuries. But I know that Wentz played at least in the first quarter, and so he, I think that was one of his lifelong dreams, was to go to Lambeau Field, and of course to play at Lambeau was really had to be pretty exciting for him. Not that the Eagles did that well, but I understand that the first part of the game especially was really neither team looked that great.
Well, Carson Wentz had a real good first series, and managed to complete a bunch of passes, scored a couple of touchdowns, and then went for the two-point conversion. The first ball went through Aguilar's hands, and although he's a talented young guy, he's got to get his technique down, because otherwise he's not going to be with the team that long.
That's right.
He's a hard worker, and I know the coaches like him, but Nelson Aguilar, you need to catch the ball. That's your job. Meanwhile, the Eagles had a trade yesterday. They traded wide receiver Jordan Matthews and a 2018 third-round pick to the Buffalo Bills for cornerback Ronald Darby. Now, as much as I hate to see Jordan Matthews go, I think they got value here. Darby, who's 23 years old, was a 2015 second rounder picked by the Bills. He's started 29 games over the past two seasons, so it means he's not getting hurt a lot. He had two career interceptions, 33 passes defended. He's a Florida State grad. He's 5'11", 193 pounds, and as a cornerback, I think he's an instant upgrade to the Eagles' secondary. He's going to be the starter for the Eagles because he's got 2 years remaining on his contract. So what are his tools? What are the kinds of things he brings to the table? Remember, go look past the price tag. They're now in a better position to contend for a playoff because they've added a starting caliber cornerback, and the man has rare blinding speed. And he really can jump. Straight line speed is only a small part of a cornerback skill set, but it's an important one. The Eagles' lack of it has been on display throughout training camp because Carson Wentz has been lobbing deep balls after deep balls over Mills, Douglas, and veteran journeyman cornerback Patrick Robinson. Certainly Wentz gets a lot of credit. He's been remarkably accurate on his deep throws throughout the summer. But the number of shots down the field available to him had been jarring enough to think that it would be a deal breaker for any playoff hopes. The Eagles probably
wait a minute.
Had their
the
worst
Eagles
corners.
And playoff hopes. Let's get back real and let's see if they can win their first, three or four games.
That would be good because right now I have to tell you, before this trade for Darby, I think the Eagles cornerbacks were probably the worst they've ever had in their history, and that's something.
Talking about cornerbacks, what happened last night in the game as far as the Packers were all the injuries, including the cornerback Demaryius Randall, who apparently Tiggs, I think that's his name, massive hit from Tiggs. Apparently they're concerned that Randall has a possible concussion, so that could sideline him. And then Malachi Dupuy, apparently they had to carry him out on a stretcher. He's a wide receiver. That is not, I haven't heard what the consensus is on that. And then Barkley hurt his ankle. There were a couple other players who, had injuries. I think that Kendrell Price was hurt. He's a defensive back. And Ty Montgomery, we also know that Ty Montgomery fumbled, but as far as apparently Kevin King, the potential rookie cornerback, filled in for Devon House last night, and apparently Devon House, another cornerback, was injured in practice this last week. So, this is not good to have this many injuries before the season has even started.
Well, maybe you're just getting them out of the way.
Yeah, you wish.
That could be helpful. But, the Eagles have a number of rookies drafted this year who are also looking to fill cornerback positions, and I think that's going to become more and more critical as the season grinds on. They have Mills, who was a 2017 second-rounder, Sidney Jones, also a second-rounder, and 2013 third-rounder in Douglas. So I think the Eagles may have upgraded through youth and through the acquisition of Darby, who's only 23, and already a proven NFL starter with their cornerback. So it sounds to me, to this untutored eye, who has yet to watch an Eagle snap this season, this spring, this fall, this summer, that the Eagles have already improved, if only by getting rid of people who just couldn't play the position. It's a funny thing, you know, when you have to play at that high a level and you have to defend against some good passing teams like Dallas or the Giants or the Packers teams that are not in your conference or your division but are not in your conference like Pittsburgh perhaps, who they do have to play, you know, they're going to get picked apart on defense. And frankly, Carson Wentz can't do it all. He has to have people to throw to, and hopefully Aguilar, Ertz, and Celek will be good receivers for him. But there's nobody out there receiving who can receive the ball with blinding speed. And having added this new cornerback who's very fast and who seems to have tremendous jumping ability, I think the Eagles have just found themselves an upgrade. Is that going to make a difference? Are they going to win another game or two because of him? I don't think so.
Well, let's, for your sake, you better hope that they play the Cowboys in one of the first six games.
Oh, Ezekiel Elliott suspended for six games.
For six games, and I think that's probably the biggest news. I don't think Jerry Johnson expected that. I really don't. And they were bandying around that maybe he'd be suspended for two games. Six games, a lot of games. If people don't know, Ezekiel Elliott last year was, Rookie of the Year?
I
think he was Rookie of the Year. He really is a phenomenal player. I know my grandson, the Cowboy fan, unfortunately the Cowboy fan, Ezekiel Elliott is one of the jerseys he was proudly wearing, and I don't know a lot about what was happening with Ezekiel. Apparently, there were no criminal charges, and however, the league, the NFL, is getting very, very strict on any type of domestic violence, and
rightfully so.
Yeah,
there's no reason for
so.
People to be batting each other around.
No, that's
now,
absolutely right.
So Elliot misses September 10th kickoff with the Giants, September 17th at Denver, September 25th at the Cardinals in Arizona. He misses October 1 hosting the Rams, and Pat, you'll be happy, he's not playing against Green Bay on October 8th in Dallas. October 8th is the Packer game with Dallas. And he misses the game at Frisco against the 49ers on October 22. So he won't, and the Cowboys don't play the Eagles until November 19th, which is week 10 of the season. So Elliott misses six games and gets three more games to tune up just to get ready for our Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm sure by that time he'll be in rare form. And Dallas plays the Eagles again. It's time in Philadelphia, Lincoln Financial Field, on New Year's Eve Day, the final day of the regular season. I think I'm going to be sitting around the TV watching that game.
You mean you're not going to be there in the cold and embracing your team?
Well, you know, December 31st in Philadelphia is is unpleasant to be outdoors, particularly when you're between two rivers and you got that wind, and it's damp, it's cold, and you've got to be dressed just like the frozen tundra of Green Bay. Now, Pat, I know for you Packer fans, you'll go out there in T-shirts and shorts.
No, not me. I know how to dress. But the other thing that was important this week for football was, of course, the NFL Hall of Fame induction. Did you watch that?
No, unfortunately, Pat. I'm playing baseball. I'm watching
baseball.
I'm working, and I'm sailing my boat. It's summer.
I have to say, I
know that the Cowboys beat the Cardinals. I got to actually see a little bit of the induction ceremony on ESPN. But I have to tell you, Pat, I've been derelict.
Well, I don't know.
Take my lumps.
I have to say, you know, there were some really incredible speeches. There really were. And the one I have to say I was surprised, and I thought he did a much better job than I expected, was Jerry Johnson. And, you know, like him or not, and I don't like him, I mean, he has done things for football that, and he was almost humble. I mean, it was not really humble. I thought it was great that he had his wife introduce him because, of course, she's been with him all along. And, you know, he bet everything on the Cowboys when he bought them, and she was right there supporting him all the way. So,
well, he made a good bet because they're a very profitable team.
They are now.
You're right, but
they
weren't when he
bought
them.
But you know what they were losing? I mean, this was amazing to me. I didn't know how much they were losing when he bought them.
No idea.
$1 million a day.
Wow, that's a lot of burn.
That's a lot of risk that he took at the time. It was like, it was either going to make it or he was going to be bust.
But you know something? It's very hard to see an NFL team go belly up. I don't think any of them have in the past 30 years.
No, but when you're losing that kind of money, it would have been, you know, it could have been a, you know, continued to be a losing situation for a long time.
Oh, sure, but, you know, with the television money still coming in, and I think it's probably going to last another 5 to 8 years, I don't think they really have to worry, because typically what happens
is
they pledge
that money
to the bank. But the
television money wasn't there when he bought. I mean, it was there, but it wasn't there the way it is now when he bought that team.
Well, he's had the team now for, what, 15 years?
Probably about that. So, I mean, think about it. 15 years ago, I mean, now it's football 24/7,
right?
Almost 365 days a year.
Oh yeah, because the NFL channel
and the channels are going. So I really enjoyed, of course.
What did Jerry Jones say? We never got to hear that.
He talked about his team. The entire team was there. I mean, every Cowboy, every member of the team was there, and he did talk about some of the older players, and of course there were a number of them who have been inducted, and they were there. So it was interesting the way they handled it. And of course, I have one, and
we have a
John Manfreda coming.
Good afternoon, John.
So a little late, but that's okay.
Good afternoon.
Hey, John, how are your Giants doing?
No,
Giants. Let's find out.
I still have. We were talking about the NFL. El Hall of Fame. Did you have a chance to watch it?
I saw a couple of the acceptance speeches.
Okay.
And it was a very nice class.
Okay. Well, then, this is going to be a question for Bill. You know, Kurt Warner was one of the did you see
inductees,
his speech?
Yeah.
Did you see his speech?
No, I missed that. I would like to have seen. He's an articulate guy.
Everyone that I watched actually was quite good. I missed, I think, maybe the first one or two. But anyway, this is a trivia question. Where did Kurt Warner start playing when he started in the NFL?
St. Louis.
No. He was traded to the Rams from, let me think, hold on. He was traded to the Rams because Trent Green was the quarterback and he got injured. And they picked up. And they had gotten Trent Green from Kansas City, and then they picked up Warner. Where was he in the NFL?
I don't think he was in the NFL.
I don't think he was in the NFL.
Don't you look on your phone. Look at that cheater.
I don't look on the phone.
It's just legal research, Pat. For Bill, that is.
Yeah.
Pat, I think this may be a trick question. I don't think he was in the NFL.
I think he was stocking shelves in the
supermarket.
No, that was later. As I recall, and then you can check your phones, he was a walk-on at Green Bay.
I don't know that for a fact.
I think he was.
I don't remember that. I remember what Bill just said, stocking shelves in
the
supermarket. Also played in the gunslinging league. It the WFL, the World Football League?
Yeah. I think he did play in a WFL.
Think he was stocking shelves between
The WFL
maybe
and the NFL.
Well, between one
between one team and another? If what you say is true, that would be correct, because he might have been a walk-on, got cut, was stocking shelves, then he got a call. That's very possible, Pat.
I don't know if he was stocking shelves after he was cut from Green Bay.
Yeah,
I think he may have gone to another team.
Well, speaking of, this is a good segue, if I may. I told you on Wednesday morning when I saw you that I had something to show you, and I was on the tennis court the other day, and I've been living on the tennis court. This is so wonderful in the summer. We get so much court time and playing every other day. It's fantastic over at courtside. And, you know, we were warming up and we see all these balls. And, of course, the balls come with different numbers so that you – it's kind of like golf balls, so that, you know, you can track your ball, so to speak. And typically they're 1, 2, 3, or 4. That's typically what you will see. So I happen to pick up a ball that I thought was part of it. We were in warm-up, so we're banging balls around. And I pick up this ball. And what was unusual about this ball, it's a Pro-Pen yellow tennis ball, and look at the green number that's on there. So I see this green number four, and what pops into my mind is Brett Favre, and then you, Pat. I first saw Brett Favre, then I saw Pat Schmitz, matrimonial family law attorney extraordinaire, and it's too bad because Brett could have probably used your counsel many, many times, Pat. But anyway, I wanted to get that, made me think of you, so it's a little souvenir that you can add to your repertoire from your collection, from your career, and if any of you, and I know Bill has seen my office, you know I have all kinds of tidbits from everywhere that I've collected along the way, so that when I hang it up, I can sit there, and as I'm cleaning my office out, and people say, where are we going to get rid of all this junk? I can say, well, you see this ball? I have a bunch of balls in the office, and they all have some significance like that, so I wanted to give one to you, because look at that green four.
That's a green four.
And the point of it is, though, those balls usually come black. It's usually black number on a yellow ball. So it's a special edition ball.
Well,
I kicked it up and I said, I got to get this to Pat. So there you have it.
I will treasure it. Now, you know me. I loved Brett Favre. I have always loved him. But you know what? I was really disappointed this last week in him. He didn't show up for the Hall of Fame induction. Now, many of the people who were inducted in prior years do. And I really, you know, after being inducted only last year, I really expected him to be there.
Well, I don't know. Bill, I'd be curious to get your take on it. My take, I think, briefly is, you know, it's not like he's 80 years old and you kind of look for those. He's still relatively young and doing a lot of stuff, doing ads on TV. I don't know, Bill, what do you think about that? I'm not saying Pat's wrong. It sounds a little harsh, though. What do you think?
Well, I've always been a Brett Favre fan.
Okay.
And I had to admire him for having the nerve to come to the Jets. So it's either he was pretty nervous.
You mean nerve to come to the Jets with his cell phone to text with, but that's another story.
That's another story, and this is a family show.
No, actually, that one, that I think was calculated because
he was set up for that.
He knew that he could not.
No,
I'm not talking
about
the cell phone. I'm talking
anymore.
About when he went to the Jets, he didn't dare try to go to any one of the Minnesota.
No, the NFC teams, no. He couldn't go to the NFC. It had to be the AFC.
So, you know, what – and nobody minded that. No Packer fans minded it. What they really resented is when
he went
to
Minnesota.
The Vikings.
Oh, of course. That was the ultimate.
And stick it in to the Packers.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, it's like Jacoby Ellsbury went to the Yankees, but then we said, happy, good riddance, and, you know, the Yankees way overpaid for him. And in Minnesota, I don't remember what they paid him.
It wasn't, he did a good job for Minnesota. It wasn't that.
Well, didn't they win the division the year he went there?
Absolutely.
He beat out the Packers.
Right.
He beat the Packers.
Yeah. So, you know.
Well, see, that.
But that's one that you can't let that diminish.
That didn't bother me, but for some reason, the fact that he didn't show up where he could have just hopped on his jet and got.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, and this may come as a surprise, Bill. When Roger Clemens went to the Yankees and he came back to Fenway, there were a few jeers here and there. But most people will tell you or the only thing, they never won a championship there when he was there, but that wasn't his fault. But people loved him. And I'm using more of an analogy here, Pat. People loved Roger Clemens for the sheer brilliance of his performance for all those years, and they were still willing to forgive him, even in those pinstripes. And that's why they brought him back. He's a member of the Red Sox Hall of Fame, etc. And Pat, I think the Packer Nation feels the same way about Brett Favre.
Yeah, now, you know, when he went back, I mean, remember, the first time he was going to go back, he would not go back.
Yes.
Unless Bart Starr was there.
Bart Starr criticized him heavily, and he wanted an apology. And
no,
he said,
I don't remember Bart Starr criticizing.
Well, that was the whole point why he was upset, because I thought Bart Starr had said, and he was a sacred member of our family, and he violated that trust and all that stuff.
No, maybe I missed that.
Well, then what was the friction between them?
Well, I don't think there was, but the problem is when he was first going to go back to Green Bay, he wanted Bart Starr to be there because everybody loves Bart Starr, and he knew...
Or to create a more positive atmosphere.
Booed. He was really afraid he was going to be booed.
Oh, I see.
I never heard Bart Starr criticize anybody.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry I got that wrong.
So,
you're right.
And so then, because he was so ill, that's why he didn't go the first time. And then when he did go, he was accepted.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't think I'll ever see, and I've said this over and over, I don't think I'll ever see a quarterback who's as much fun to watch.
Right.
But I think Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Brett.
Well, consistently and across the board, if you're grading him on 10 different things, I agree with you. But in terms of just sheer brilliance, sheer pull it out of your rear end to make somehow, victory out of defeat.
Yeah.
I mean,
but he also
the game I'll always remember is the game the Giants knocked him out of the game. He was unconscious. The Giants were beating the Packers in Green Bay. He's off. He's on the sideline. You know, you can see the proverbial stars revolving around his head. Next thing you know,
he's back
in the game, and he throws like a 60-yard touchdown pass to beat the Giants.
Yeah, well... but I also saw the Giant game when he threw an interception and they won and went to the playoffs.
Well, I know
that,
yes, of course. I didn't want to mention that.
But the problem
that was Brett Favre.
As many of his brilliant plays, he had just as many.
There's no question. And on that, I think, is the single biggest factor you put your finger on why you would give the nod to Aaron Rodgers. I agree with you because Favre, his ego was such that he thought no matter how small that needle hole is, I can get it in there. I can fit that ball in there and beat those cornerbacks. And sometimes he couldn't.
No. Except in that Oakland game after his dad died. They caught everything. If you ever have an opportunity to go back and watch that
game. Yeah, it's a famous game.
It was, Brett did a fabulous job, but everybody caught everything he threw. I mean, that was the amazing. Even if you just go and look at all of the catches in that game, that was just absolutely amazing.
Well, he threw what was called a soft ball. It was an easy ball for a receiver to catch.
Who did?
I think Brett Favre threw a very hard ball, but it was a tight spiral.
Tremendously
tight.
He
was like Elway, where it was a tight spiral. But in fact, when Elway first came up, if you remember, the receivers were complaining.
Right.
They couldn't catch the ball. Their hands were hurting.
Because it hurt
he
too
threw
much.
Too hard. Well, Favre was not far behind that. He threw a hard
Favre
ball.
Favre was like that. In fact, they were always afraid they were going to
break their fingers. Yeah.
But
he did not throw a softball.
There's a trick to catching a ball like that, and it took Green Bay's receivers about a season and a half, before they could really suck the ball in, like
he also threw balls that just were impossible. I mean, you talk about threading a needle, and
he
expected a lot of his receivers to go up and get it.
Yeah, right.
See, the problem Carson Wentz has is I think he's got the same caliber arm or will have when he gets some more experience. But the problem is he doesn't have the receivers yet that Green Bay has.
Well, they did. I mean, the one thing, and that was one thing I liked about both Favre and Aaron Rodgers, that they would throw to a lot of different people. And so that had to keep the other team off balance, never knowing just who would
be. Well, because to Bill's point, they had a lot of quality
right.
receivers. You know, the Packers were smart enough, the brass, that they knew they had a quarterback like that. You got to put four
right.
good receivers on the field, which is something the Giants are trying to do this year with Odell and Marshall and Sterling Shepard, and now they drafted this all-world tight end. They're offensively going to be a tough team to stop because they can't run.
Think,
the Eagles and the Giants can't run the ball.
Right. Do you think the Giants, having picked up Brandon Marshall, made a vast leap over the rest of the division?
I think not that Brandon Marshall is a great wide receiver. He's very good. The thing is, he's a match for Eli because Eli is not accurate. I don't know that he ever was, but he isn't accurate anymore. And what made Plaxico Burress made him great because you threw it up in a 10-foot radius and he came down with the ball, which is what Brandon Marshall can do. So it sounds a little melodramatic to say that, but I think it probably was a significant marginal leap, yeah. Just simply because of the style. It fits their style.
So would you have brought him on if you were the Giant GM, or was there somebody else you would have
brought? Absolutely. He was a great fit. They wanted to get – they've been saying for years he needs another Plaxico. He needs a receiver like that. See, Odell runs precision routes. That ball has got to be there, the timing. And the last 2 years they've worked on that heavy, and they've done pretty good with it. But a lot of those acrobatic catches that he makes are because Eli doesn't put the ball where he's supposed to put it. So he makes Odell make those incredible catches. They want to get it to the point where a bigger receiver like a Marshall, like you remember the famous catch against the Cowboys in the
right.
corner of the end zone where Odell catches it with two fingers. I mean, an impossible catch. The ball's
right.
about 12 feet in the air. Impossible,
right.
but he made it. Well, that should have been that would be an easy catch for Brandon Marshall. So, yeah, I would have made the move. I he's not the best locker room guy, but you know what? You make that move because the cure for all locker room ills is
winning.
Well, that is the drug of choice in football, right?
Exactly. By the way, Bill, how did the Eagles do last night? I think Wentz only played one series.
Wentz played two series.
He
actually got a touchdown.
Yeah, I thought they said he had one touchdown drive.
I think he played,
one touchdown drive.
Quarter.
He did pretty well.
We couldn't get the game. We were talking about it earlier, and we can't get a Philadelphia station where we are.
Well, I think game two and game three will be the important. Now, Philly made a big trade today.
We talked about that before. I think they really helped their cornerback
situation. Well, because they figured out after just 2 weeks of training camp that this guy can't start. The guy was playing corner. They were going to get torched on that. They could not go into the season, so they had to make. But they got rid of Jordan Matthews, who's a very good receiver.
Well, they had to give up some quality in order
to
get
this guy.
And they also gave up a 2018 third-round draft choice.
Yeah,
so I think the Bills got some quality there. And remember, the Bills have some problems with guys finding guys who can catch.
Well, they made a trade in turn. They traded Crabtree. And they
got
a big haul for Crabtree. So the Bills are in a rebuilding. But the Bills were very smart. Very smart.
Remember, the Bills have a problem. They've got to be a wild card team.
In the division with the Patriots. That's the problem. Yeah.
Yeah. And remember, as I've said before, the New England Patriots take nothing away from them, but they're the best team in football in the weakest division.
In the weakest
football,
division for the last 20 years. So if you're the Jets, rebuild this year because, you know, let's face it, I think Brady will go, certainly he's there this year. I think he'll go one more and then I think that's it. So for the Jets, you're looking at 2019. Because they're never going to beat him if he's on the. I don't care if Tom Brady is on one leg. The Jets are just never going to beat New England as long as he's there. And that's the thing. What I think is unfortunately going to happen is, and they bolstered that offensive line last year. The big improvement they made on the Patriots to get back to championship level was they added guys to that offensive line. You got the best quarterback. You got to give him time, and they did it.
Yes.
Now what's going to happen? I believe somebody's going to miss a tackle, the left tackle is going to miss a block, and Brady is going to go down like a broken pretzel, and it's going to be the end. And now when that happens, I don't know. And, you know, I don't wish that on him. But as a student of the game and I look at it, it's inevitable that he's going to take a hit. He's been very fortunate in his career. He only had the one bad knee injury. But I can see it happening.
So you don't think that his longevity had anything to do with, you know, I mean, like Brett Favre would take incredible hits, as you had mentioned earlier.
A lot of punishment.
Get up and, you know,
get up, spring right back up.
But yep. You don't think Brady has had that kind of punishment?
No. Brady has never been hit like Eli has, like Aaron has. So many quarterbacks you can talk about. No, the whole point was they knew a year or two into it, my God, we got real lucky on this 6th-round draft pick. We got to protect him. So there were some bad years that they had after they won 3 Super Bowls out of 4 years in the early last decade. Then they had a couple of bad years. They went 10 years without winning a Super Bowl. And or even getting to the Super Bowl. They got there twice, yeah, and the Giants beat them. But how did the Giants beat them? They punished Brady. And that's the only way you're going to beat Brady is you got to hit him. And the Giants did it twice. And they it was a blueprint textbook. That's how you do it.
Well, and I think
and those were
that's
Tom
when
Coughlin,
he'll retire.
To remember.
He'll retire if he gets hit enough.
If he gets hit enough, and that's what teams should do. If I were playing the Patriots, I would blitz every single down. Because you're going to lose the game. If you're going to lay back and try to play coverage, you're going to lose the game. So you may as well blitz him. You hit him. Maybe you make him start to, you know, throw short, pull up a little bit. Maybe you hit him enough to get him out of the game. Because you can't beat him in a conventional way. So if I were the defensive coordinator, I would bring people on every play. At least bring at least 6 men on every single down. Let them know it's coming from somewhere. Corner blitz, shoot the gap somewhere. Make him think, I'm going to get hit on this play. Because otherwise, you see what teams do. They try to play New England toe-to-toe, and they're smarter, better, faster, and stronger than everybody else. They also cheat.
That's
well,
true.
Remember something. You keep Brady in the pocket.
Let's take a short break, and we'll be back as soon as we hear from a few of our sponsors. So
very
please,
good.
Very good.
Keep listening.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pamby's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pamby's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pamby's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property, can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
We have, hi guys, we're back. You're Mike 4, right?
I am Mike 4, that is correct.
Okay, well, we're back with the sports guys. We have
here on Mike 2.
That's right, we've had the sports guys, and all of us are
here. Moved up in the world.
So let's change a few things up a little. We have a big weekend at that big ball yard in the Bronx, as someone once said.
And you know something? The Yankees have surprised everybody by hanging in there this long.
Oh, God, yeah. It's been a successful season.
To be only 4.5 out with the problems they've had. And
the fat pitch that Holiday hit into the monster that put it in extra. That was how it went 16 innings. But Sale was shown all year he can dominate the Yankees. That's the Sunday night game. So we'll all be up till 2 in the morning watching that game, I'm sure.
Remember, today you got Garcia and Rodriguez.
Did they have to play the next day? I mean, how do those guys play 16 innings and then...
Well, you know how they do it? They're 20-something years old, and they make $10 million on average. I would do it. You would do it too, Pat. The problem I see this weekend is they may get the game in tonight, but I think tomorrow is supposed to be a washout. So it's supposed to be a 4 o'clock game tomorrow. I don't think that game gets played. Hopefully by Sunday night, the bad weather's washed out, and they can get at least that game in. But if they don't play Saturday, who knows? Maybe they'll do a day-night doubleheader Sunday. Who knows?
What's exciting is they're going to play each other 10 times over the next month.
Yeah, and that's what the Yankees need to take the majority of those games. I mean, even if they took 6 out of 10, that brings them down to 1 or 2. That's not bad. But
you know, the Yankees are 6-3 against the Red.
That's the only team that has a winning record against them, and you're right. They've seemed to have their number this year. But I think going into this series, the Red Sox have won 9 in a row. And the Yankees have lost, like, I think they're 2-8 or something in the last 10 games. I mean, they're going in opposite directions. But if the Yankees can somehow win tonight, then they have a shot. If the Red Sox win tonight, I legitimately think the season's done. I really do. Because then you'd be 5 out. And even if you win the next 2 games, you're 3 out. And I think 5 in the win column, I mean, you're just not going to be enough games to catch
them. But don't the Yankees have 3 games that they haven't played
yet? Yeah, but they got to win them, Bill.
They got to win them, sure. But, you know, so, I mean, you know, the season's still in their hands, and certainly they're chasing the Red Sox. And, you know, the view from second place, like they say about sled dogs, is never pretty. But the end result, though, is you've got a Yankee team that's young, aggressive. They've just traded for 2 very good pitchers. They've had their inconsistencies all year, both in the bullpen, on the mound, and even in the field and at bat. So it's still a young team, and they're still learning how to play. I think the Yankees turn into the wild card team.
I think the goal for them right now, if they especially if they lose this series and they can't catch the Red Sox, will be the wild card. If they get in, you know, at least they get some experience. You never know what happens. If you win that one game playoff,
you never know.
You never know. So
well remember something too. Every time they've gone on a losing streak, something happens and they turn around.
Yeah.
They've had a lot of injuries.
It's been a roller coaster season like that. You're right.
Sabathia has been up and down for them.
Well, I think he's injured now. I mean, the first 3 months he pitched, like, he dazzled the Red Sox in Boston 3 weeks ago. It's like, how is this guy doing it? But his last couple of times out, he got I think he injured his leg or something.
Another knee injury.
So I don't know how much they can count on him. I don't even know if he's going to pitch in this series.
Well, I don't think you're going to see Sabathia pitch either. I know Garcia's going tonight. Tomorrow, I think it's Tanaka. And then I think it's Sonny Gray.
Yeah. So, you got some decent starters there. It should be fun.
Yeah. And remember, Luis Severino seems to be doing well against Boston. He's got the two of the Yankee wins. So,
yeah.
What I'm seeing is that this is a team that's cutting its teeth. It's growing. It's already a good season as far as I'm concerned. Remember, they made the playoffs last year. They were one of the wild card teams.
Yep.
That was after 3 years of not even getting into the big dance. So I'm happy.
Well, I know you guys are all East Coast. All I can tell you is I had a conversation the other day with my brother, and he's actually watching the Brewers this year. So
yeah, they've had an interesting year. Yeah. They've been near the top. I think Chicago has too much talent and will ultimately take that division. But you're right. They've had an interesting year.
So there are people who follow teams
other than
the
Yanks and the Red Sox.
Yankees and the Red Sox.
Yeah, but they're not on this show.
That's true. But you do know that now – people in the Midwest like the Red Sox, but they hate the Yankees.
Oh, of course.
Hate the Yankees.
Oh, you go to St. Louis. I was in St. Louis 2 years ago.
They
welcomed
the
even though we had just beaten them in a couple of World Series the previous 10 years. They love, just like in Boston, they love the Cardinals. Even though none of us will ever forget 1967, heartbreaker. But they love the Cardinals. But in a certain team, the Cubs are beloved. But you're right. Yeah. The Yankees have as many enemies as they do friends.
But remember,
one of the most popular teams, but they're also one of the most hated teams too.
But it's interesting. The Cardinals seem to have a very passionate fan base.
Oh, they absolutely. That is number
like
one
in the Southern Midwest.
Oh, that's like the Cubs.
That's like the Cubs.
I mean, the
well,
Cubs
I think the base. Cubs are have a fan base because it's fashionable to root for the Cubs.
No, not at all.
The Cubs have won. The Cubs were like the Red Sox before they started to win recently.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't
losers.
Expect them to win,
die
but you were there. And you in the seat in St. Louis, you had that wonderful history, but the Cardinals also won. They've won the second most behind the Yankees.
Behind the Yankees, right.
And I think they've got 12.
Well, remember, the Cardinals were blessed with some great players like Warren Spahn and Stan Musial.
You go to the
Bob
Cardinals
Gibson.
Wait,
Hall of
Warren
Fame.
Spahn.
He played for the Cardinals.
He played for Milwaukee.
He played for the Braves.
He did, but he also had a season with the Cardinals.
He's mostly known for the Braves.
Yeah,
though.
Because he played in
I mean, there's 100 other players I'd mention in the Cardinals before him, but you're right, he did play there.
But he played for the Cardinals before the Braves, right?
In fact, I would,
I'm not sure if it was before or at the end of his career. Because he did have a season or two with the Mets also.
But, it's interesting because if you look at the Cardinals, like the Yankees, and to some extent the Red Sox, have this glorious history. But I think the Cardinals actually have more homegrown, all-time star-type players than – because the Yankees over the last 40 years have acquired so many players. Reggie Jackson, great Yankee, but come on. He was the $6 million man. No, it's never going to go away. Everything. Okay, you had the core four that got you your five championships.
Right?
Those were homegrown. That kind of puts them back into that. But beyond that, it's like a lot of their big stars. You have to go back to the 40s, 50s, the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, when they were all homegrown. You didn't have the player movement you had. Well, the Cardinals, remember Albert Pujols was a Cardinal. He'll go into the Hall of Fame a Cardinal, not an Angel.
Oh, I don't doubt that for
okay?
a minute.
So, the Cardinals really have – in fact, I think in the Hall of Fame you have the most – I think the Cardinals have the most Hall of Famers. I think. I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
It's neck and neck, the Cardinals, the Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox. I think those are the top four.
Well, I have found something that the two of you can do in your dotage. Apparently,
Bill.
Yeah.
Apparently, there are bus trips where you go around the country to various fields,
yep,
see the games, you go to Cooperstown.
Yep.
And I was talking to my brother and one of his neighbors. They took that trip and went to, I don't know, six or seven different ballparks.
Yes. Yep.
And because we were talking about Camden Yards, and they really enjoyed, you know, watching the game there. And
if
I
you want to see America, especially if you have a child or a grandchild, that is unbelievable. Taking a bus trip and going to some great parks, and then you maybe you'd go to east, and then maybe you go
to
the West
tour.
Coast.
Huh? I mean, you know.
This is a tour you have a travel agent.
These are tours.
That's what I'm saying. If you were to take a son or a grandson, I mean, how wonderful is that?
I mean, if you ever asked my husband if he wanted to take the old Greyhound bus again, not a tour, I mean, he would tell you no. But then he went, not only did he go back and forth from the Midwest to the West Coast, he went to Mexico a couple times on a Greyhound bus.
Oh, my God.
What a long ride.
That sounds like a very punitive sentence.
Well, you know, when you were poor and he was working on his dissertation or going to school, that's what he did.
Hey, I've been on many Greyhound buses as a kid.
Wasn't a kid. He was an adult. And, you know, and you know my husband. He's a big guy.
I don't know how they had room for him.
Anyway, there were, you know, Greyhound buses. And, of course, now taking a plane is like taking the Greyhound bus. And I don't mean to be pejorative to the Greyhound bus. It's probably better than, you know, trying to get through some of these.
No, I think it's a good flights. it's a good simile. You're right. Very, very.
But I thought that was very interesting that you know, they went to all of these special tour all over, and you know, not sure that would be my cup of tea. But if it was to football games and football fields, that would be another story.
Well, you know, there are some NHL teams that have road trip tours with the team for their fan club. So let's say that Philadelphia is going to go to the West Coast. They fly to Arizona, then they go to San Jose, then they play the Kings, then they go up the coast to Vancouver, and then out to Calgary, and then they fly back to Philly, and their fans come with them on another plane.
On the plane?
No, on
the same
another
plane.
Plane.
Oh, okay.
But they have a lottery. Who gets to sit in the plane with the team between the legs of the trip?
Oh, that would be fun.
Which is fun. And, you know.
Well, they have a cruise with the Packers. I mean, last time I looked, they were more than 50% sold out, and that's sometime next spring. So, anyway.
Well, the thing that I've always thought would be kind of fun would be to go to one of the camps. You know how they have, like, the baseball camps?
Oh, my cousin did that a few times. Yeah. Went to baseball camps.
Oh, that would be real fun.
I'm trying to remember which one he would go to. He was a huge baseball fan. But a lot of other people go down to Florida and go from team, you know, from game to game. And remember how they used to play on crummy fields. I guess now the fields down there are really pretty nice.
Well, you know, we're almost
out
of time.
We're almost out of time.
Saturday is going to be a bad day. Sunday, it's time to get up off that couch.
And let me play a couple more spots so we don't get yelled at. And I didn't realize how late it was.
Hey, time flies when you're having
fun. Let's go, Red Sox.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113. Or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Remember zeroing in on Bob Simon as being everything I ever wanted to be.
Bob Simon was 73. I'm Shelley Adler.
A rookie New York City police officer is pleading not guilty to a series of charges related to the shooting of an unarmed black man. More from New York correspondent Warren Levinson.
Police officer Peter Liang pleaded not guilty to 6 counts, including manslaughter and official misconduct, in the shooting death in November of a Kai Gurley in a darkened public housing stairway. District Attorney Kenneth Thompson.
This police officer put...
have nothing to do with race. Warren Levinson, New York.
USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
It's 9:05. It's time for Hunterdon Chamber Radio. Weather, it's still cold. Just not as cold. It's 7 degrees right now in Flemington. Wind chill still down to -7. We have a wind chill advisory in effect until noon. It's not going to get much better. Plentiful sunshine today and a high near 20. Winds west-northwest of 15 to 25 miles an hour, gusting up to 60 at some point with a wind advisory in effect. Clear to partly cloudy tonight with a low near 10. Winds will be light and variable, though, so it won't feel as cold. It will be still cold. Cloudy with periods of snow tomorrow in the afternoon, a high of 36. Wind south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of snow is 70%. About 1 inch of snow is expected. Occasional showers on Saturday night. Snow showers on Saturday night with a low of 11. Snowfall around 1 inch. Windy with a few clouds on Sunday from time to time. A few flurries are possible. A high of 16. Mostly sunny, 22 on Monday, generally sunny and a few afternoon clouds, and 33 on Tuesday. Cloudy skies early will become partly cloudy later in the day and a high of 29 on Wednesday, the 18th. Double digits up in Tewksbury. We're at 10, 12 over in Hillsborough Township, 9 in East Amwell, 8 in Lambertville, 6 in Pattonburg, and 6 in Baptist Town. Good morning, Hunterdon. It's Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather. Bixie here. The second hour of Good Morning Hunter and Hunter Chamber Radio to come. It is cold. Hunter Chamber Radio traffic. The good news is not much out there. We had some congestion on 78 eastbound in Tewksbury
White House Station area, the exit 24, going eastbound, but that was due to volume. Aside from that, everybody's driving okay. I imagine the congestion is a little dissipated. A lot of people couldn't get their cars started this morning. Might have had some frozen fuel lines or batteries dead. You never know. Got an article about that. Kind of give you a heads up. I understand it might be a little late in the game, but certainly I'll be talking about that in a little bit. That's Hunter Chamber Radio. From History.com, a little history for February 13th, 2015. On this day, in 1633, Italian philosopher, astronomer, mathematician Galileo Galilei arrives in Rome to face charges of heresy for